ければ。
The button has been pushed.
Commencing podcast now.
Button down.
Button down.
Button down. Welcome to Pop Tech Jam, the independent audio magazine about consumer technology, pop culture, and the fine art of surfacing. I'm J.D. Beersdorfer.
And I'm Pedro Rafael Rosado.
On this week's show, I point the way to the privacy controls for Windows 10 and other sites and systems you may use.
Nice.
But first, some news.
News. Hey, you know what? I'm going to be in Disney in a couple of days.
You're going to the Mouse House.
I'm going to the House of Mouse. Actually, by the time people are listening to this, I might actually be in the House of Mouse, right?
You will
now.
Be in line for some ride somewhere out in the broiling much. Orlando sun.
But I'm going to have one of those fancy bands. They send them to me already.
Oh, really? So your people tracker band.
That's right.
Well, it's the pass to get you into all the rides and attractions.
No,
it's
things. The people tracker. You had it right the first time.
All right. So,
and it comes in a fancy box with like the Incredibles
like an Apple Watch,
on it.
Yeah.
It's like fancy. The whole family. They put your name on it.
Oh.
Like right on the box. I'm like, wow, they're all up in my business.
I think you should ask to take a tour of the big, it's going to have like some 360-degree panoramic screens where they're tracking everybody in the park, sort of like the Hunger Games where you can see it.
Yes, that's right. That's exactly what I want to see.
I think you should ask to see that part of the park.
Yeah, they'll probably escort me out.
Yeah.
I think they would.
Well, they'll know what you like in Disney, though, because
they got me chipped.
Yes, and you won't get lost.
I will not get lost. I was talking to Mrs. Kaiser about this.
Yes.
And I was like, you do realize it's going to be the most expensive vacation we will have ever taken. And we're only going to be there 4 days.
Yeah.
It's going to be brutal.
Didn't they just up the price? Like there's this like super platinum premium pass. For
right. It's like the year
like
pass. For
over $1,000 now or something.
They upped it.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't grow up near Disney. So I was in Midwest. And so we had Kings Island outside of Cincinnati. I think it was maybe $20 or whatever for the day to get in. I mean, this is decades ago, but
I grew up in New York. We had Coney Island.
Yeah, you had the boardwalk. Yeah,
of course, the Cyclone. That was it.
You know that wooden roller coaster.
That's right.
With the clackety clack noise.
It's still there.
Yeah,
scary as all get out.
I hope you have a good time down there.
I hope so too. But that doesn't mean we're still going to do an episode. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, no. I look forward to hearing your personalized account of life with the Magic Band.
Yes, indeed, life with them. I may never take it off.
Really? You just let them track you up here?
Just let them track me 24/7.
He's going into Times Square. Well, plus it would be interesting if they were like connected with all those animal heads out in Times Square, which I think are just buskers. But
oh, wow. Now we
if those guys were actually rogue agents from Orlando.
Now we have a sci-fi movie right there.
Yes,
that's brilliant.
Yeah, that Mickey Mouse that is out there charging you $20 to take your picture is actually an agent. He's an operative.
That's right.
And when he's punching Spider-Man, that's a diversion.
They got that augmented reality thing going on.
Yeah. They got like whole Jarvis helmet going on.
Oh, yes. All right, we're really off the rails now, aren't we?
Yeah, I guess we should circle back around
and
pick up the news on the way.
News!
Yes. The March of the Big Fall product announcements continues, and this week's it's Microsoft's turn on stage.
Is it really?
They waited very patiently. Yes, they had Apple, and then Google was last week.
The boys from Redmond.
Yes, and they came to New York to have theirs. They didn't buy on a hall in San Francisco. They came to New York City for their product announcement.
New York friggin' city.
Yes, big press event here on Tuesday, and showed off a great big pile of new devices, all designed to run Windows 10 in some form or another.
There you go.
The products included the Surface Book, a laptop-tablet combo, starts about $1,500. It's got the detachable keyboard if you want to.
Yeah, but it reminds me of something. I can't put my finger on it.
Perhaps the Android Pixel C, the optional tablet.
MacBook Pro, maybe?
Oh, yeah.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, except I wouldn't rip the keyboard off of
that. I would not recommend that. No.
Yeah, but yeah, MacBook Air, MacBook Pro, the lightweight detachable there. So that's the Surface Book. Then there's the Surface Pro 4 tablet, starting at $900 for the entry-level model.
They're sticking with the tablet, aren't they?
And here's another thing they're sticking with. Three new Lumia phones. We thought they were bailing out of the phone business.
That's what I thought.
And they've got these new phones, big glossy screens, very nice looking. I don't know if this was already in the pipeline before they dumped a lot of those people who worked in the phone division and took that big write down.
Right.
Or if maybe they say, we need to be represented in phones and maybe the Surface tablet people can just work a little smaller.
Hold on a second. Back it up here. I just realized what you just said like a couple of minutes ago. Did you say the entry level Surface was $900?
Yes.
Wow. That is a significant amount of money.
Yeah.
What do you get for that kind of money?
I think you get Windows 10, and this is a Surface Pro, too.
Right.
So this is the one that you could conceivably use all of your Windows programs on. It's running the the Windows 10 and a muscly chip inside. You know, it's a laptop. Yes, it's a laptop replacement.
I see.
Which is
okay,
why they,
that's
you
fair
know, but
enough.
Then you've got, you know, your cellular options and whatnot.
That's a hefty price.
Yeah, that's not that $500 that you're used to.
Right,
you know,
exactly. That's level. I guess that's why I got the sticker shock there for a second.
Yeah, well, this is the Surface Pro 4. It's a business oriented.
It's got tech. Pro in it, so that makes
yeah,
it
Pro
more
Pro is more expensive. So
this is PopTic Jam Pro.
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to charge you guys a little more.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're going to double the price, actually.
Yes, yes. And, right.
And you know what? No, let's triple the price.
Because our base price is so.
Yeah,
you know,
of course.
Yeah. So that's Surface Pro 4.
Right.
Three new Lumia phones. And then remember, they had their own fitness tracker that came out long before the Apple Watch.
That's
and
right.
All that, the Microsoft Band. And now this is the Microsoft Band 2.
Dos.
Yes, for $250. But it got pretty
too.
Good reviews when it came out. I don't think
really?
It was that much to look at unless you like sort of black vinyl-y looking stuff, but right. It did the job. And
and who doesn't like black
yes,
vinyl-y looking
especially
stuff?
In New York.
Of course.
But it did well enough to make a second version, so that's out. The Xbox One console got a Windows 10 update, and Microsoft announced the HoloLens Development Edition, which people think mm-hmm. is one of the more interesting things they've done, that sort of augmented reality.
Yep.
So that is finally starting to come out of, you know, the deep back recesses of Microsoft's secret laboratory. The HoloLens Development Edition will be out, and the HoloLens headsets are going to start shipping out the first quarter of 2016. Mm-hmm. Those estimated price of $3,000 a piece. So,
oh, yeah, well, I ain't going to buy one.
Yeah, your augmented reality is not going to come very cheap.
Yeah. Okay. Well, hold on a second. Again, I'm sorry. I'm like two beats behind here.
Yeah, totally, and you're caffeine free. That's
I'm
why.
Caffeine free. That's exactly what's happening here. Now, tell me again, do we get to go into like a fancy store and have a private showing and a private fitting to get the Microsoft Band? Because I refuse to get any wearables without that.
I think you order it off the web and they mail it to you.
What?
Or you could buy it in a Microsoft store or a participating retailer. But I don't think you get the personalized journey. Is that what you're after?
Yes, I'm after the personalized journey.
Yes, where you like to go in and then sit in a lounge chair
yes.
and have them come show you models.
Mr. Rosado, would you like this band?
Yes, would you like your champagne topped off?
Yes,
there,
exactly. You're telling me they're not doing this?
I don't believe they have really rolled out that customer luxury experience yet.
All right, come on. Get on the stick, Microsoft. Come on. What
yeah,
are you doing
they,
here?
They're working up to it, you know.
This whole buying on the internet is so 21st century.
Yeah,
get it.
And like you don't have to wait and it shows up and it's $250, which is $100 cheaper than the lowest.
Yeah.
But this is more of a fitness tracker.
It is.
It does other functions, but fitness is its primary function.
Okay, fair enough.
All right.
You
so,
make a valid argument.
All right, but maybe one day they'll have the showroom
maybe
experience. So then the HoloLens, the $3,000, you're not going to do that.
Nope.
But if you wish to give the gift of Windows 10 this year at the holiday season, you have many screens to choose from.
I don't know why I find that so funny.
Yeah,
giving the gift of Windows 10.
Yes. Well, after Windows 8.
Yeah, that's
Windows
true.
10 is a gift.
It does mean something.
So that's out there. But that was Microsoft had a lot of hardware out there today. They had many things to talk about, things that they sort of hinted at their Build conference in the spring.
Were you live blogging this one?
No, I was
like, what do we call it? Live snarking?
Sneeding, I think.
Sneeding.
No, I did not actually have a live stream. I will post a link to the event so the people who want to watch it, but I've the day job got in the way.
Yeah.
Sneed. So, yes. Roku was also out with the new this week and has jumped into the fray with the recently updated Apple TV, Chromecast, Nexus Player, other Android TV boxes, and Amazon's Fire TV. Roku now has a new model called the Roku 4. It's a set-top box that can handle 4K video. And it also includes the now standard voice search and gaming functions, which most of the new set-top streamers include. Yeah. Roku has apps for Android, iOS, and Windows Phone to let you command the box from your mobile device, too. Not this particularly new, because you could do that with, I know, at least iOS and Android. So, but they're out there. It's, I think, about $130. It's expected to ship October 21st. Apple has been vague about when their new Apple TV was going to be coming out. The Apple TV that does not do 4K streaming, but is due sometime at the end of October itself. So these two are probably going to be colliding in the product channel streams at the same time.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Sure.
Do you have any interest or is there like an urgent need for you to get into 4K streaming right now?
No.
Yeah, same here.
And
I'm usually, I mean, I was all about the high def.
Yeah, you're a cutting edge guy.
But
the sort of just lack of content, I mean, it does 1080p and enough stuff, you know, everything's in 1080p now, right. So there's no problem with that. But the 4K stuff, some things are coming, yes. Netflix has a few movies. You can find a few things on YouTube and Vimeo, where people have done really nice 4K things, right. But it's not until we sort of get maybe 50% saturation. Mm-hmm. I'm not feeling the need to go running out to be an early adopter.
Same here.
Because I figure this is like first generation 4K box. Yeah. By the time there's more content out to make it worthwhile for me, there will be an even faster box with a bigger processor and internet speeds may be cheaper or faster, and it'll just be better all the way around.
Now, I'm with you there. I'm totally with you.
But also new for the fall season.
Yes.
Google has officially released Android 6 Marshmallow and is pushing updates out to recent Nexus devices. These include the Nexus 5, Nexus 6, Nexus 7 2013 edition only.
Yes.
No 2012.
Yes.
Sorry, guys. Nexus 9 and the Nexus Player. Google does remind everyone that, quote, the Nexus update to Android 6.0 Marshmallow occurs in stages and some carriers will receive the update later than others, end quote, because the wireless carriers always seem to be a bit behind. But if you have Nexus and the pure Android, you will be at least farther up in the queue there.
So it's time for a different mod for my 2012?
It seems to have been officially kicked off the bus. Impatient Nexus owners who don't want to wait for the over-the-air update, wherever they happen to be in the queue, can also grab the system image off the developer site and update with a little flash trick there.
Yes.
So if you have a compatible Nexus there. Google also updated the YouTube app for iOS with its material design look and added tools for editing videos within the app itself, but many users did not like the redesign and found material design to be not to their liking.
Really?
A lot of one-star reviews in the App Store, which is the way people show their displeasure now with an app that they do not like.
Yes, they do.
So Google keeping busy there. Meanwhile, in Cupertino, Apple has purchased Perceptio, a company developing technology for artificial intelligence software to be used on smartphones. Because Perceptio was working on techniques to run artificial intelligence image classification systems without having to tap into a user's personal information like email or contacts or other data, mm-hmm. one could speculate that Apple is trying to make Siri be more helpful without being as creepy.
One would hope.
Yes, more helpful, less creepy.
Yes.
With digging around in your personal data there.
That's a T-shirt slogan right there.
Yeah, I think we really need to trademark that.
Yes, we do.
The Perceptio purchase also goes with another recent buy. They got the startup Valley Vocal IQ, which makes software for processing natural language. So if you get something that's a language processor and something that can do image recognition on artificial intelligence systems, mm-hmm. maybe your smartphone just got a lot smarter without getting all up in your business.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah, so maybe in a couple of generations, we will see Siri really take a leap upward.
Let's hope.
She's getting better. And I think the Vocal IQ, a lot of this, like, it's a very basic thing. You tell Siri something, she answers back, and that's the end of your interaction with her. I think they're looking to have longer dialogues where maybe you get more specific in your searches. I think that's my guess for what they want.
It's a good guess.
Yeah, so we'll see. In Apple's own software, the company now says it's resolved problems with the app thinning feature promised in iOS 9 and has included those fixes in the recent iOS 9.02 update. App thinning, as you may recall from the WWDC conference, gives developers the ability to ship smaller apps from the start, and then customers have a very quick download, takes up less space. The app will download additional data that it needs from the web once it's in place, so it speeds up the whole installation thing. So this was something that had been promised, and there were problems with it, so they finally fixed it in the iOS 9.02 update.
Yeah, because they've been rolling out updates all week.
Yeah, it's been very updatey.
Yeah.
Another thing Apple did, it also made its keynote addresses searchable by keyword, keynotes by keyword. So if you have a video of a keynote address on there and you want to say, when did they introduce that thing? You can search, and they've transcribed the text kind of behind the scenes, and so we'll call up like the point in the video when they first talk about app thinning or whatever.
Okay,
which could be useful if you're trying to figure out when something happened in one of Apple's many product announcements.
I don't see any use for it, but I guess somebody
it could be useful as a journalist. It'd be like nice to fact check stuff.
I know a lot of those.
Yeah, yeah. You know, they those journalists, they're around.
They are.
So that's Apple. Reddit, known for its insightful commentary and well-reasoned arguments.
Yes.
Just kidding. Can be a flaming cauldron of rage.
Yes.
Anyway, Reddit has spun off a new site called Upvoted.
Really?
Upvoted, yes.
Upvoted.
The new site features some of the same content as the motherboard, but none of the user comments, which are thought to drive advertisers away from the main site with hateful vitriol and whatnot.
Wow. Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah,
actually,
so
I agree with this 100%.
Advertising-friendly, curated Reddit called Upvoted.
Yeah. But the whole point of Reddit was the whole ability to
elevate something
on the basically all you got it you can't even upvote something or you just can't comment.
Reddit does it for you. All of the stuff unupvoted is curated by the Redditorial staff.
Ah, the Redditorial staff, yes.
Yes, and so they put it there. Regular Reddit is still there, but and I have a feeling upvoted probably skims Reddit for all the good stuff, gets rid of the annoying user commentary, and then puts it in a nice package, and then advertisers feel safe that they can put their brand next to there. You know, because if someone's having a flame war, there's some hideous thing going on.
Right.
Advertisers don't want to be associated with that sort of stuff. You know, they want happy and joy and buy my thing.
Advertisers really want to get involved in the whole Reddit morass?
No, well, they want to avoid it, so that's why they're going to upvoted.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's the theory anyway.
That is the theory.
Facebook, which has discussed drones and other various ways to bring the internet to places that don't have access, announced this week that it will be launching a satellite with a French communications company to bring the internet to mobile phones over large parts of sub-Saharan Africa. Good in theory, bringing the internet to the world.
So Facebook is
Facebook,
going to have a
satellite. Yes. Yes. The space hardware, which is under construction, is part of Facebook's internet.org platform, which provides free access to, with stripped down web services and also gives them Facebook access, of course. But they also get access to job listings, agricultural information, healthcare and education, you know, basic people stuff. Mm-hmm. And a communications platform for people who don't have it.
Can they play Mafia Wars?
I don't know if that's available in the first version, but...
Can we poke? I want to poke the satellite.
You want to poke the satellite?
Yeah.
I think you might technically be poking somebody in sub-Saharan Africa who's on internet.org.
You make a very good point.
And if you tried to poke the satellite, you might get arrested.
That's very true.
But it's not expected to go up till 2016, so who knows what could happen.
Oh, I got time to figure it out then.
Yeah, so that's part of Facebook's internet.org mission.
We're going to have our own satellite soon.
Yeah.
I didn't want to...
Yeah.
I just let the cat out of the bag. Sorry for
that. Yeah, it's going to be a fun little satellite.
It is going to be a fun little satellite.
It's going to look like a disco ball.
And you can poke it anytime you want.
Yeah, it'll say hi back. Moving on, the European Union Court of Justice.
Yes, the Court of Justice.
Not to be confused with the Justice League.
Right.
Has smacked down a deal that let companies transfer personal user data from Europe to the United States with the Safe Harbor system.
Right.
For firms that have offices in both the U.S. and the EU, Safe Harbor made it easier to move this without having, you know, government checks and all of that.
Yeah, pesky government checks.
But it let things like web search histories and other info used for online advertising be kind of slung back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
But the EU court ruled that the system was invalid because it subjected users in the European Union to spying by U.S. government agencies, since we don't have any privacy here. And the European Union is like, oh, no.
Ooh.
And so they said, no, you can't be doing this. So I think this means people are going to have to maintain different databases in either side of the Atlantic. You know, one where people have privacy and then the U.S.
Yeah. Right. And then the U.S.
So
and then the U.S.
Yes. So that's the European Union Court of Justice.
Court of Justice.
Leaping into action.
Dun, dun, dun.
And finally. Now, we've recently talked about vinyl making a comeback, now audio cassettes seem to be having a smaller but similarly nostalgic return these past few years. I don't know if you have noticed this as much. I haven't seen it, but it's out there apparently.
I was never a big cassette fan.
Yeah, well, they tangled. I liked them for mixtapes and stuff, but in terms of fidelity, not as great. And they wore out. You could tell when that tape was going because you had the wobble. Yeah, it was just... But some people have stubbornly held on to the format for decades, despite CDs and digital downloads. I guess cassettes peaked in the late 1980s with a billion units or so.
Wow, that's a lot of units.
By 2001, they accounted for only 4% of all music sales. And by 2005, they were selling fewer than a million a year. So they went from a billion to a million in not very long time. But the National Audio Company of Springfield, Missouri, still makes pre-recorded and blank cassettes and sold 10 million of them last year.
Wow.
So they're climbing back up. 10 years ago, they'd fallen to fewer than a million. They're back up to 10 million as of last year. And this year, 2015, sales are up 20%. So they seem to be rising.
Hey, I never got rid of my cassette players.
It's always good to have a device
Absolutely.
That can play legacy formats.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, wow, is it? Do you think this has anything to do with like the Guardians of the Galaxy awesome mixtape?
I just actually
bringing people back to cassettes.
I think so. Honest to God, I think so.
Yeah, and for some, it's a very cheap way if you just, you know, you don't want to burn a CD or you need something just to record some quick little thing. A cassette still works.
Hey, and making a mixtape is an art form.
It is.
It really
is. Stopwatch and the whole.
Yes, indeed.
Got a time you're in a sort of space between if you're not crossfading.
Absolutely.
So cassettes are still with us with the vinyl. So maybe, you know, technology hasn't moved forward as quickly or as permanently as we thought.
The poor CD. It's getting such a bad rap.
It's going to get a nostalgia boom, too, someday.
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope
so. They'll be coming back. Don't worry. Yeah. But in the meantime, anyone out there who wants to know more about the things we talked about here in the news segment today, you can find that at
poptechjam.com. And we're not on cassette.
No, not yet. Well, here's a hopefully helpful hint.
We haven't had one in a while, have we?
I know. I think we skipped a couple of weeks of hopefully helpful hints. But
we've got to pace them out.
Yeah. This is about privacy, which we talked about in the first segment.
Privacy?
Yes, the privacy that they have in Europe
and
not here. And last week, we mentioned in the news that Microsoft had felt compelled to put up a blog post to talk about Windows 10 privacy because I think it was feeling some blowback from people freaking out.
Yep.
It's recording my keystrokes. Cortana knows where I live. It's like, well, yeah, because you know she lives with you.
Right.
But all of these things that there, people are starting to get nervous about because they see what happens when your personal data gets out.
Mm-hmm.
So Microsoft put that blog post up recently, but the company is far from the only one keeping tabs on your data. Apple, Google, and Facebook all have had their own privacy flaps. We've talked about them here before.
Yes, we have.
Since this is National Cybersecurity Awareness Month, I figure we should start with just locking down things at home. And so
is it
let's,
already cybersecurity?
It's October. You know, it comes around so fast. Hallmark was late getting the cards out.
Yes, I know. They were late.
Wow. Yeah. So if you are always meant to go into your privacy settings or maybe you're reading some news stories and you're worried about it or you just want to see what it's all about, there are ways that you can control what information of yours is shared with companies. Keep in mind it may limit some of your services with those companies.
Absolutely.
But it's a decision that you, the user, get to make about how much you want to share. So by default, the Windows 10 system settings are kind of nosy. If you do that Express install, it just everything open.
Please, yes.
Yeah, if you're putting Windows 10 on and you want to have any shred of privacy from the get-go, pick the custom install and turn all that stuff off.
Oh,
but
but
even if you didn't do that, you can go back in later and change things to lock everything down. Keep in mind, again, it will alter maybe your relationship with Cortana or your Bing results or something. Now, Microsoft has its own privacy policy posted on its site, as most sites do, along with a privacy FAQ page, frequently asked questions.
Oh, you love those.
Yes, I love them. And then they also go into details with certain aspects of Windows 10, like text input. What are they taking there? But the privacy settings, if you just go into Windows 10 and go down the search box, type privacy settings in the search, it'll pop up the thing. You click in there and then you see tons of screens of things you can turn off, like location and basic privacy and typing and all of these aspects of Windows 10 that may be collecting data you can
– I'm on it.
You can choose to share or
I'm
not.
I'm on it. I'm writing this down.
Yes. Now, as for Apple, a company also has its privacy policy posted, and you can fine-tune your settings in iOS and OS 10. We'll have links to those. There'll be a little accompanying blog post here, but you can control what is going out there with your Apple gear.
An El Capitan?
Yes, El Capitan, yes. Google has several services you may already use, like Gmail and YouTube, and they've got this big, giant privacy policy that they put in place for all of their sites and services.
Mm-hmm.
We'll link to that, but you should check your Google account settings, which you can get to from your the top corner of the page if you're logged into like your Gmail or whatever.
Right.
Click your account, look at the privacy settings there. And Google also has a page of security tools for things you can do to help keep your account safer, like app-specific passwords and that sort of thing.
I did not know that.
Two-factor authentication.
Well, I do know that.
Yeah, yeah. The things we do to keep from getting hacked.
Yes.
And Facebook, perhaps the king of user privacy freakouts, has its own data policy page, very big, very elaborate online. and also a privacy basics guide so you can make sure you control what you share with other people, maybe not with Facebook itself, but what you are sharing with people others, in the Facebook community.
Because Facebook needs to know.
Yes. So it's worth checking your settings every once in a while, especially because sites also tend to make changes sometimes and you don't realize it. And, oh, my God, I'm showing everything to everybody.
That's right.
So that's something to keep in mind. But that was just our quick little, hopefully helpful hint.
Again,
there will be links to all of these privacy policies.
All over the place. Insights.
Yeah. So if you were concerned about any one of these four that we mentioned here, you want to check out more about what you're sharing with the company and what you may be sharing with users at the same service, check out our blog post at
poptechjam.com.
Thank you.
We got to go.
Yes, time to go.
Time to go. Time we got to thank the bros.
Thank you, bros.
Thank you, bros. BuiltByBros.com. Build something with the bros.
Yes, and thank you, listeners.
Yes, actually, thank you very much, listeners. We appreciate you coming back every week, listening to our shenanigans and being so supportive. And, you know, it's great when people like, you know, a couple of weeks ago, somebody found us again after not having listened to us for a while. So that's great.
Yeah, yeah. We love you all.
Yes,
and thank you for downloading every week.
Yes.
So until next week, when we are back with more, I'm J.D. Beersdorfer.
And I'm Pedro Rafael Rosado.
And we need to go finish our satellite.
Yes, indeed. I need Mickey ears.
I think you should get some.